Welcome to Dog Talk and Kitties Too. I'm Tracy Hotchner. I wrote the Dog Bible, Everything Your Dog Wants You to Know, as well as the Cat Bible, Everything Your Cat Expects You to Know. This episode features one of three guests who were part of my weekly hour-long NPR show broadcast over the air every Sunday on WLIW-FM 88.3, the only NPR station on Long Island where it has broadcast continuously for over 15 years. This show is about dogs, cats, and other creatures who share the planet with us. Please check out my other Pet Talk podcasts at TracyHotchnerPets.com. This show would not be possible without the longtime support of Woruva, the pet food company founded and privately run by David Foreman, who named it after his rescued kitties, Webster, Rudy, and Vanessa. Woruva is a quirky name for a company with whimsical names for the dozens of different cans and pouches of cat food they make. But what sets them apart is how serious David is about high-quality nutrition. They were the first pet food company to use human edible ingredients and process them in the same facilities that make human food, remaining privately owned and run, accountable only to their own high standards. This show is also made possible with the generous support of Dr. Elsie's, the privately owned litter and cat food company founded by Dr. Bruce Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian. He personally created many styles of litter to make sure that even the fussiest cats would not have out-of-litter box problems, the number one reason people abandon their kitties. Dr. Elsie also created his own brand of cat food called Clean Protein, the first dry cat food I can recommend because it's based on the protein found in a cat's natural prey. Dr. Elsie's is also the founding and continuing sponsor of my New York Cat Film Festival, of which I am the founder and director, along with the annual New York Dog Film Festival, which premiere in New York City every October and then travel the USA and Canada supporting local animal welfare groups. Go to dogfilmfestival.com and catfilmfestival.com to find out when we'll be where. I don't understand TikTok. I mean, you all know I'm kind of useless on technology, but a friend through a text sent me a TikTok that my jaw dropped. I was laughing so hard. It was about an extraordinary rescuer. It's called Canine Rescue, called like the letter K and then the number 9 spelled out. This woman was so funny, like wry and sarcastic and snarky and hilarious. Had to find her. I found her. I mean, that's the beauty of course, social media. Amy Creel is an amazing person. She has rescued, I don't know, countless thousands of dogs, but in the process has had to interact, I am using that word, with countless people looking for help with their animals that they want to get rid of often. And she's so funny about it because I don't know how you survive emotionally or mentally in the rescue world if you took it all to heart. Amy, welcome to the show and congratulations on being so real and genuine and honest and out there with your frustrations and sometimes lack of appreciation for the things people ask of you and for you to do for them. At what point do you think you developed the persona of being, I don't know, cranky isn't the right word, just like, oh, please, are you kidding me? I mean, I just loved it. I thought if I lived near this woman, I would have to have coffee with her once a week and just laugh my pants off. I mean, how do you...
Well, that's about the biggest compliment you can give me.
But it's true. I thought, oh my God, tell me another story of somebody who asked you to rehome their tadpole or something. It's like, what?
Right?
Yes.
It's crazy. I had no idea when I started doing rescue. And this is all unpaid. That's the other part. I had no idea when I started this maybe 10 years ago how much drama and craziness there is behind the scenes. I had no idea. It is literally every day something ridiculous happens. And I feel like being kind of curmudgeonly.
That's the word.
It helps me to cope. And TikTok has actually been really helpful to me personally because it's a place where I can vent. I never identify anyone.
Right.
I'm not looking to call anyone out or embarrass a specific person. It's just a place where I can share these ridiculous stories and, you know, have a laugh. And it helps me to continue doing the important work that we're doing. So I really need my sense of humor to help me do this.
And that's very well said. The work you do is, you know, taking in a dog from the South and oops, pregnant. And now you've got all the puppies.
Yep.
And now
yep,
you've got that same platform on which to show people what puppies look like. And then you're going to go someplace, as rescuers often need to display these puppies and hope to give them good homes. You're doing
right.
the hard work of rescue. It's really tough. And
right.
then a puppy gets
right.
sick. Then you got to get to the vet. Then do the other ones get sick? But
exactly.
in the meantime, you have people, I guess, messaging you on Instagram or Facebook with requests and demands that are amazingly off the wall. Now, can you suggest like some of them? I mean, I really do. I beg you all to find Canine Rescue, Amy Creel, spelled C-R-E-E-L. And you'll see what I mean about so funny, like she's the person you wish was sitting next to you at dinner. Because
oh, I love that.
But it's true. Your stories are like, they said what to you? And then what? So can you give some examples? I mean, it isn't just dogs. People come to you with questions that are completely out of your wheelhouse even, right?
Oh, yeah, always. In fact, I'm embroiled in something right now that is so unbelievably crazy. So we saw a Facebook post about a dog in the Bahamas. There's a lot of street dogs in the Bahamas.
Correct.
And we saw a Facebook post about a dog in need. And so we reached out and said, can we help? So we brought the dog over. That there are pilots that will fly dogs
That's right.
for free. And so we brought the dog over. So that was great. And we got the dog into a foster home. And that person ended up adopting. This is all going on right now. So we sent a picture to the person in the Bahamas that we were dealing with. And she didn't like the fact that the person who was taking the dog was overweight.
Oh, my God.
Right. It's like, I can't even believe this.
So oh, my God.
She said that person's not going to be a good adopter. And I was just, that just was
what?
So crazy to me. And so then after that, everything was fine up until that point. She was really appreciative and really nice. And then she went completely crazy. And she said, I want the dog back.
Oh, my God.
And I said, that's not going to happen. This dog has actually been adopted. We have a signed contract. The dog is microchipped to us. We have all the medical records. I mean, this is a legally binding
Correct.
Contract. And we're not going to do that. The dog is in a wonderful home. And isn't that the goal?
Thank
this
you.
This woman has taken to social media to rake not only the rescue over the coals, but just me personally, said that I abducted the dog.
Wow.
And, you know, so then I'm getting calls from all the crazy friends that are like, where's the dog? You have to give the dog back. And then she started posting a picture of this poor
no.
adopter.
No.
Yes. Saying, go find this guy. He stole my dog. I mean, it's
no.
like, you can't believe how crazy. She posted that I had a criminal record and just like making up crazy
wow.
stuff. So yeah. So we are currently embroiled in all of that. And it's just, it's hard because these kinds of things, and I wish I could say that this is, I'm not saying we're dealing with this level of crazy every day, but this is not the first time we've dealt with this kind of thing. And it just is really time consuming. And I mean, it is funny, but it's also annoying.
Oh, it's more than annoying. It's more than annoying, Amy. I mean, time consuming, but and energy, but also it kind of soul sucks. I mean, how many good deeds can you do and then be bashed and bashed and bashed for them? And then the friends of the bashers, because they're all anonymous, they're putting out your name and possibly your address. And now this well-meaning, wonderful adopter is now outed for where they live and all lies about that person and comments about the person's physicality. In what world is that okay? And these people, I mean, you know, You tell another story on TikTok that I found, which I can barely speak. This person you had as a foster, and fosters are incredibly valuable to any rescue.
Right.
Not so much a county shelter. they don't really have fosters, but all the smaller rescues, many rescues are 100% foster based. There's no building in which animals are kept and a cement cage is hosed down. They're all in somebody's home who's dealing with a dog with multiple challenges, whatever they may be, only to then have to make many meetings with potential adopters on the phone and on text and then in person. And I mean, the devotion of fosters, I think, is, you know, the highest level of being St. Francis. And then this one woman decides she's not going to give the foster dog back. When you find out, I think that she had a hoarding situation or something that you weren't aware of. And then she wanted you to give her $1,000.
Yeah, we're still dealing with that situation. This woman is not mentally stable. And we discovered, you know, it's an imperfect system. We're unpaid volunteers. We're juggling jobs and families. And we do have our due diligence, but it's never going to detect every situation. Humans are inherently unpredictable. So we did not know the extent of this woman's issues. And when we became aware, we said, you know, we really need to get this dog back into our care.
Right.
And she has refused to return the dog. And we had, again, these are like soul-sucking time drains.
Yes.
So we sent animal control out because she was threatening to kill the dog, like just off the wall, completely crazy. So animal control went out and they found that the dog looked okay. And they can't seize a dog.
That's right.
Unless the dog is being abused or neglected. And the dog did not appear to be. So they couldn't do anything. So then we filed a police report. Again, a waste of time and energy. And then the police said, well, you gave her the dog, you know, because she has a signed foster contract. So they said it's not stolen property. Now it becomes a civil matter. And, you know, it's just, at what point do we say this is crazy? Like, what, do we have to get an attorney? I mean, this is so ridiculous. And so we finally got her to agree to give the dog back. And then, as you said, she was like, I want $1,000. And, you know,
it's jaw dropping. I mean, no one who hears this, people hearing this need to understand. I've often said, and I don't mean it in any unkind way, that a lot of people go into animal rescue to deal with their own emotional issues. It doesn't mean they're mentally unbalanced or they should be medicated or in a facility, but often people's own personal life story, whether it's from childhood or from adult relationships, of feeling abandoned or feeling unloved, and often rescue helps them heal some of those feelings. It's not judgment to say it. It's pretty factual. And yet,
it
doesn't take much for people to go over some cliff or edge, and now you're dealing with full-blown mental illness, and there's a dog stuck in the middle of the story, and that's your only goal.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's interesting. I was just thinking about this recently because I'm dealing with this craziness from the Bahamas, where I think a lot of people in rescue, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, there's a passion there, which is a good thing. But that same passion, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because sometimes animal people, quote unquote, can be a little kooky and can sometimes go off the rails. So it's like that, you know, it's great that you're passionate, but then you also need to, you know, live in the real world. And we deal with a lot of people who are just kind of out there, and it's a difficult thing because, of course, you know, we're sympathetic to someone who's having mental health issues and we're just trying to get the dog back.
So
I'm not even sure how this is going to play out. Our last communication was that we would like for you to bring the dog to one of our adoption events, and we haven't heard anything back. So, you know, we're sort of in this weird holding pattern. But it's a frustrating thing. And the other thing that we deal with is there's just sort of like a sense of entitlement sometimes with people that is shocking to me, that, you know, people will call me at midnight. They'll call me, you know, 8 a.m. Sunday morning. They'll make demands. We just had someone return a puppy. They had the puppy for one day and they decided the puppy was a lot of work. And so they wanted to bring the dog back. And so they said, well, we'll just come over right now. And I said, well, hang on. That doesn't work for me.
Hello.
I have other things. Exactly. I'm doing other things. Like, I will get back to you with a time that is convenient for the drop off. This wasn't an emergency. The dog was not biting their face off.
Right.
We don't want the puppy anymore. And so then the person said, well, I'll just put the dog in your yard. You know, it's like,
wow.
Are you kidding me?
A little baby puppy.
Exactly. You can't do that. It's amazing how many times I have to say, you can't do that. Because people sometimes make just outrageous requests and demands.
Well, you've also had people call you, which I've seen on your TikTok, but the way you talk about it is so curmudgeonly and funny and snarky. And they say, you got to take this dog back. It bit my kid. And you say, yeah. Wait a minute. What is it? Okay, so make pretend I'm the person calling. Look, this dog is terrible. This dog dangerous. It bit my kid.
Right.
And then you have to ask a series of questions.
Yeah, and I always say, tell me what happened, because sometimes people will come in with really inflammatory language. And I was an English major. I feel like language matters. And it really matters when you're talking about dogs and cats. You know, to say that a dog attacked someone,
right.
That's pretty significant. So, choose your words carefully, because an attack is very different from a snap, you know, different from a bite. Like, it matters how you talk about things. So we recently had a woman who reached out. This was not a dog that had anything to do with our rescue. This wasn't a dog that we had taken in. This was just a random person. And we get those calls all the time. And she said, I need to rehome my, I think it was a Doberman.
Yes.
The Doberman bit my toddler in the face. Well, first she started off by saying that the dog attacked her kid. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like, this is newsworthy. And then I said, tell me what happened. And then it turns out that, not that this is great, but the dog did snap and bit the child in the face. Not, thankfully, not significantly, but still, any bite to the face is concerning. But it wasn't quite what she started out with. And then I said, well, what led up to this? Was it just completely out of the blue? Because that seemed, I mean, it sometimes that happens, but
it does rarely.
Yeah, exactly. Rarely. Usually dogs are going to give you some indication that there's a problem. And so sure enough, she said, well, the kid had been hanging on the dog's neck. And I said, had the dog ever expressed that it didn't like that? Yes, the dog had been, you know, growling about that. The dog had snapped a couple of times, but just didn't make contact. So I'm thinking, well, why didn't you address that? It's the dog was telling you, I don't like this. And it kept happening, and then the dog snapped. So, you know, things like that happened. Or we had a Great Dane where...
That was the one that I loved. The Great Dane was...
Yeah, the kid using it as a jungle gym, just climbing all over the dog, and, you know, and
But
the dog
people
snapped.
Called so, you out of the blue about a purebred Great Dane that had nothing to do with you and said, this dog attacked my child.
Yeah.
And you say, whoa, what do you mean by attacked? Do you mean ran across
right.
the room and... No, well, she was trying to ride it like a horse.
Exactly.
And the
exactly.
people say this to you with no apology, no sense
no
that
apology.
They are completely no. complicit in putting this dog in an impossible situation.
Exactly. And furthermore, they will then say a lot of times, can you come and get the dog? You know, just like crazy. We get requests like that all the time where I had someone recently who said, I am about 3 hours from you. Can you bring a couple of dogs for me to try out?
Stop
like, have
it.
A sleepover?
Stop
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
To try out. You mean some testers.
Yeah. So I'm going to pack my car with dogs, drive 3 hours, and you're going to have a sleepover with these dogs. Do I have to go to the sleepover?
Right.
And then see if any of them are a match. And then I guess I'll bring back any. I mean, just the craziest things. People will say, like, you know, we're in Maryland, but they'll say, you know, we're in California. Could you get a dog to us? Like, I mean, it's not it's crazy. So we deal with that stuff all the time.
And when you do your adoption events, do you do them at the Petco PetSmart kind of situations or smaller pet stores? Where do you do them? Because people can get to Maryland, and you do have dogs you've taken in, and you take such good care of them, and you know them so well by the time you put them up for adoption. You know whether they would like to be ridden like a horse, which, by the way,
yeah,
I think it's fair that Amy and I and anybody with two cents of common sense knows they're not little. Even the largest dog is not a little horse. It's not a pony.
Exactly.
Not to be
exactly.
ridden or
yeah.
hung on.
Yep. Basic respect for, you know, for the dog. That's one of the nice things about having fosters. And, of course, I'm a foster as well. I foster nonstop. Right now I have, you know, three fosters. So I always have fosters myself. And that's one of the nice things about having fosters is that we can gather that information.
That's right.
So we know, okay, this dog really needs a quiet home. This dog needs an active home. Probably best not to have little kids with this one. You know, this one's good with cats, whatever it is. So we
right.
can generally have more successful adoptions because of that. But to answer your question about events, we do the Petco and the PetSmart stuff. We also go to a lot of local places, you know, breweries and other
nice.
Places where we have events. Although we have learned a few things with that. You know, having people who are drinking, you know, it's sometimes not a great match because people go, oh, let's get a puppy. You know, they've had five beers.
Yes.
So we, you know, we make sure that only people who are pre-approved before the event, we don't allow anyone to adopt at the event.
Right.
Because, you know, you can make a snap decision. Also, when dogs, and especially puppies, are at events, they are sometimes really tired. They get really tired. So they'll fall asleep in someone's lap. And then the person's like, oh my gosh, this is so cute.
It chose me.
Let's get a puppy. And then they get home and it's a annoying toddler and they don't, you know, they don't
right.
want it anymore.
So right.
We have that. We had an incident at an event over the weekend where I hadn't had this one happen before, where we had two families were interested in the same dog. Both were pre-approved. So that was a little bit awkward, and I hate situations like that. I'm the one who wants to go to the bathroom and hide. But one of the families cornered me and started talking smack about the other family.
Wow.
So it was like these warring families. I mean, just, you know, crazy situations where people are just not on their best behavior.
Well, like, what did they say bad about the other family who, of course, they had never met until that minute?
Exactly. So the one person was an older woman, a single lady, and the other was a family with little kids. And she pulled me aside and she said, they're not being nice to the dog and that dog doesn't like them. And, you know, just clearly just trying to have us choose her. We did end up going with the family, by the way, and the dog is doing great.
Nice.
But it's interesting. Like we get that a lot too, where, you know, if a dog, say someone reaches out about a dog and then maybe that dog gets adopted or they go to an event and the dog that they were interested in is not available anymore. Most people are really nice about it and say, I'm glad the dog found a home.
Well
that
said.
That is the goal.
Yeah.
But there are people who just will be a jerk about it and make it about them. And, you know, but I came all this way to see this dog.
Right.
And, you know, there were no
right.
that you were going to get the dog, but you know, they're missing like the bigger point. So we deal with that too, where people are just kind of, you know, just a little sulky and sometimes try to make us feel bad if they didn't get the dog that they wanted.
Interesting. I feel a little bad is just obnoxious, but I'm wondering, and when I watched your TikToks, I thought, are you a magnet for online hatred? Because you are so funny and so unfiltered. You never say anybody's
yeah.
name. But your attitude about people taking such egregious advantage of the fact that you have dedicated most of your life to saving dogs with no personal gain and a huge
right.
amount of personal time, energy, money, anguish, you name it.
Yeah.
I mean, anguish
yeah.
because things can go wrong and, you know, maybe some dog from the South comes up with parvo and it's dead. And
oh,
then, you know, just awful things or heartworm that
awful.
The, yeah, awful
yep.
stuff.
Yep.
How much hatred do you get online? Because it seems like this online bullying and vileness and yelping and stuff, I would think you'd be a magnet for it. And if you are, how do you deal with it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do get hate, of course. I think everybody does. It's maybe a little bit less with me because I'm older. I'm in my 50s, so I don't get as much of the like on TikTok. You know, people will get just hammered for the way they look.
And, well, that's nice.
I don't get that as much, even though, I mean, I'm on there, like, talk about unfiltered. Like, there's nothing making me look better.
Right.
And I go on there just exactly how I am, no makeup, nothing, you know. So I'm very much my real self. So I don't get that kind of hate, like that, those personal attacks. But I definitely get hate on my attitude.
Right.
So people will some, that's the number one complaint that I get, is people will say, you're very snarky. You know, you come across as kind of judgy, which is true.
It's true. And by the way, I think that being snarky and judgy is a way to survive the madness. You're supposed to just say everybody's a good guy, you know, peace and love to everybody. No, if someone is rude and thoughtless and ignorant and obnoxious, how do you survive without calling it out? I mean, it seems to me that's your survival mechanism, is to make fun and funny of people that are way out of line.
Right, totally. And I think anyone who really follows me and watches, you know, more than a couple of my videos, I'm very self-deprecating. I make fun of myself all the time. And so it's not like outwardly directed all the time. And it's really, it is to allow me the emotional release so that
yes.
I can. And I certainly share really good stories and happy
Absolutely.
Stories, of which there are tons. But let's be honest, the more interesting stories
yes,
are the crazy.
Exactly.
So those are the ones that I'm going to share. And I want people to see some of the crap that we deal with, because I think it's, you know, it's interesting. The other thing I hear a lot is from people who work at shelters. So these are going to be, you know, county government employees.
Right.
They can't do this. They can't go online.
That's right.
And talk about all this stuff because they're hemmed in by their position. So a lot of like animal control officers, shelter workers, those folks will reach out to me and say, thank you for talking about
yes.
the stuff that we do every day.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do get a bit of hate, but I get far more people who say, you know, it's funny, it's entertaining, it's interesting. I try to sometimes slip in a little bit of education. Never heavy handed, but just a little bit here and there, and just kind of showing an honest look at what it's like to do this. And I think people generally understand that I am obviously, I mean, I'm a nice person. I'm a good person. I have a good heart, and this work is exhausting and difficult, and I have to be able to vent about it.
It's wonderful. Your venting, I think, is something we can all vicariously be thrilled by, because it isn't just venting even about rescue. It's the person in the checkout line at the supermarket. It's
yep.
the person in the bank correcting the teller's pronunciation of their first name from Tanya to Tanya. It's like, I
right.
don't care. You had that with Hannah and Hannah or something. You
exactly.
were so funny. You did this short. You're like, please, I'm hanging on by a thread here. Do not correct my pronunciation of your first
right.
name. We've run out of time, Amy Creel. I think you are a gift to all of us. Canine Rescue, spelled K-N-I-N-E Rescue. It's in Maryland. If you're anywhere nearby, you go there, okay, folks? Amy's not coming to you. I hope you'll come back another time and tell us more stories about the craziness
Absolutely.
Of the human race. Thank you for being
Anytime.
Here and for everything you're doing. I am definitely a big fat fan.
Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed the show. There are a few more special companies that make this show possible, and I hope you'll try their products because they support my mission to entertain you with valuable information and advice. This show is supported by Earth Animal, which is privately owned by Dr. Bob and Susan Goldstein, where they create holistic pet wellness products with an emphasis on their stewardship of the Pet Sustainability Coalition. Earth Animal makes a dazzling array of healing products for dogs and cats, as well as the innovative dog chew, No Hide, and the hybrid dry food, Wisdom, which is sometimes all that my picky Weimaraner Maisie will eat. The show is also brought to you in part by Evermore Pet Food, privately owned by two dedicated women who take human edible, ethically sourced ingredients to gently cook dog food that is then frozen in pouches and shipped right to your door. They founded and run their own company and answer to their own high standards without interference from venture capital investors. My dogs love it every single day.